kind of a vague concept to some people, an institute on race, an institute on ethnicity. Can you explain a little bit about what the mission of this entity is? It's relatively new, and particularly what your vision would be. You have a background in history.
I really see the role broadly conceived in three ways. First of all, the Institute is the focal point for all issues of race and ethnicity on campus. Secondly, it's the university's outreach arm, and our liaison with the broader community, both in Little Rock and in Arkansas. And thirdly, it's the bridge between the two, between the campus and the community on matters of race and ethnicity. So it's both campus-based, community-based, and a bridge between the two.
You've been in Arkansas for a while now. Your historical study has been particularly on Arkansas and race relations. So how do you, as a British man, how do you serve as someone who can be good at outreach?
Well, it's an interesting position to be in. I'm kind of, you know, both an insider and an outsider in odd sorts of ways. But I've been coming backwards and forwards to Arkansas for over 20 years now, doing research and staying here for various periods in various archives and talking to many people. So I kind of have both an insider's knowledge but an outsider's perspective. And I think that's a kind of very useful and unique sort of perspective that I bring to the table, and something that I've found that people really respond to. Nobody has really written extensively on the history of the civil rights movement in Arkansas beyond the Little Rock school crisis. You know, the field is pretty thin, and, you know, certainly I've published more over a longer period than anyone else. It's kind of interesting why it would take an English person to do that.
Some of your colleagues in UALR's history department have been very active in the contemporary history of the Little Rock School District. They have not been shy about drawing very sharp parallels to the actions of a state takeover today with the Little Rock School District and the Central High crisis. They say there's a similar dynamic at play within an elite white class in Little Rock, worried because there was a newly empowered black community in the Little Rock School District. In this case, with the state takeover, a new majority in the Little Rock School Board. With that coming out of UALR's history department, how do you feel about it? Do you think those parallels are fair?
Well, there's certainly aspects of it that can be connected with one another. I mean, I guess in direct terms, the state takeover represents the first time that schools have been occupied by the state government since Governor Orville Forbes sent in troops in September 1957. Certainly always in Little Rock, I think, given that the 1957 school crisis is such a benchmark moment, that people will always see events, particularly in the schools, in light of that, you know, pivotal event. So, you know, there are certainly parallels to be drawn and interesting ways to see what's happening contemporarily in that context of the school crisis, but also of the very much, you know, longer history of schools and race in the city. You know, I mean, Little Rock has been pretty much in continuous litigation over schools since 1956. It's a long history that current events fit into, for certain.
Historians get to look back at major events in the past, major dates, and try to define a period of time, the civil rights movement. And it's always harder to define the present as being part of some larger narrative. Can you talk a little bit about the Black Lives Matter movement?
As events unfold, you know, we can put them in historical context, certainly. And, you know, one of the things that historians have noted for 20, 30 years now is that the civil rights movement can't be easily bookended by a series of dates. And certainly the civil rights movement didn't disappear after the death of Martin Luther King and into the 70s. It's an ongoing fabric that's unraveling. And what we're seeing at the moment in the Black Lives Matter movement is another change and another phase of that movement. What really seems to be shaping in an interesting way this new movement is that new use of social media and technology, which is newly available, that's really kind of providing a platform for Black Lives Matter, which of course itself is a kind of Twitter hashtag.
Dr. John Kirk, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, a pleasure.